Talkback is brought to you by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Experience the luxury. It's Talkback, Central Louisiana's longest-running talk show. Whether it's the hosts or the callers, Talkback is where Central Louisiana connects and begins its conversation.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Hour number two of Talkback here on your Wednesday. Al Quartermott, Sandra McQuain with you. And now time for us to talk a little bit about industry here in Central Louisiana. Joining us from Louisiana Central is Leif Jones, once again, the Vice President and Executive Director of Industry Relations. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Good morning.
Very good to be here. We've had a busy week so far.
Yeah, I noticed on your Facebook page yesterday you posted about the Louisiana Economic Development Secretary making a visit to Central Louisiana. That looks pretty pretty good.
Susan Bourgeois, the new LED secretary, came to Alexandria yesterday and spent quite a bit of time with us the last couple of days. Deborah Randolph at the Central Louisiana Regional Chamber and myself coordinated quite a bit of events for her. But what was really, I think, positive for us was that she wanted to spend time listening. So we talked about some of the changes at LED, and I'm going to talk about some of those in just a minute. Changes to the tax exemption rules, which is a big thing of interest to folks. The reorganization of the department. But really what she spent time doing was talking with our team. They have a real region-up focus rather than a Baton Rouge-down focus. Which for regional economic development organizations and local economic developers, that's a big deal because she really wants to listen to what's best for our region and kind of tap into information, business intelligence that we already have as they do develop a state strategic plan, which we haven't had in place in a while. But yesterday at our office, we had Crest Industries. I have to read these. There's so many. It was all in one place. Crest was there, leadership from P&G, Drax, Biomass from Urania, AFCO, Mancheck Technologies, Royal Martin was there, Great Southern Wood, Union Tank, Hayes Manufacturing, Clico, the Air Park folks, the Port folks, City of Pondville, City of Alexandria. And we all had the opportunity in one room, we were able to pull that group together, to ask questions and to learn about these changes. So that was very positive. I think the industry leaders went away thinking that we really have someone that is looking out for the entire state, obviously, but as part of that, realizes that we have to focus more on Central and North Louisiana. She has said numerous times that after looking at projects that are coming through, particularly because of being right here in the wood basket, our access to land, our access to river navigation, I-49, and being between I-20 and I-10, that there's a lot of opportunity in Central Louisiana, and we've already seen some of that the last year and some of the announcements we've made. So that was very positive. I think that the industry leaders are very pleased about some of the changes. The biggest changes that came out of Senator Mizell's bill that the governor signed last week. We were able to go to be part of the bill signing last week since we were given the opportunity to give input along the way. That's why I've spent so much time in Baton Rouge the last few months. And the bill was based on some initial research done by the Committee of 100, and then organizations like Louisiana Central were part of that process as well. And it was a very good strategic process. It was a research looking at best practices of states, particularly across the South, who have continued to, compete with us, and we've not been able to be competitive. So how do we learn from what those other states are doing? And one of the key things is the creation of a 501c3 organization where some of the LED funds funnel in, and there's a lot more flexibility, but there's also opportunity to receive private funding. There's also opportunity to apply for additional grants for the state. But the key thing, I think, is the flexibility piece because, you know, with state government, you got to move at the speed of business, as Susan says. Yeah. And we can't move at the speed of government if we're going to be competitive. And key states that have done well have set that up. That's going to be organized with a representation from each of the regions. There are eight regions. We're just one of those that represent 10 parishes in central Louisiana. But all the regions will have a representative. They will be selected by the governor, but the positive thing is that we've had the opportunity to make recommendations as to who that might be. And so we're working on that now so that we make sure that our region is properly represented. That group is going to be charged with, and the good thing is it's going to be private industry folks. It's not going to be just operatives. They're charged with developing a longer-term strategic plan that we hope will outlive any governor. We can't change every time we have a change in administration or we're never going to get anywhere. And a much more strategic approach. It's also freed up the secretary to make the type of appointments that she needs to be competitive. It's interesting how the legislation included specific jobs and job descriptions that basically the secretary had to hire. Well, if it's not making sense for you, you shouldn't have to do that. So that was taken out. A lot more of that flexibility was given. Even things like on procurement of technology. They've had some episodes the last few years where they needed to purchase technology and were not able to do it through the process than they needed for the type of economic development, customer relationship software, that type of thing that they needed. So it's freeing up a lot of that. So it was passed. The board is being put together. The strategic planning process is underway, and we've already been part of that. We'll be part of a steering committee, which is kind of advising the strategic plan to those business leaders because they know business, but they're not necessarily economic development practitioners. So all of that we're feeling very optimistic about. And she's not waiting to overanalyze everything to get things moving. And so we're very positive about that. There have been some changes in her staff, a heavy focus on stronger business development leadership, which we need to generate more leads and to support existing industry. Focus on innovation in a new way, particularly around entrepreneurship and innovative programs. We consider innovation things like our Farm and Food Initiative that are different for each region. But also we need to do more innovation work in technology and how AI is going to affect the future and that type of thing. So she talked a lot about those things. One of the key things she talked about was the industrial tax exemption program. And Sandra, you know that program all too well, having served on the Commerce and Industry Board. The executive order came out from the governor in February that basically said the main things that were changed were that it no longer had to have an employee count to qualify as an exemption. In other words, added employees. It was originally intended before change after change, most of those during the John Bell administration, were adding more, making it almost impossible sometimes for folks to qualify. And projects changed, and you heard that many times, Sandra, when you were there. Industry changed, things changed along the way, and government couldn't respond to that too well. So they're trying to streamline that while still keeping accountability for the industry. It's still, at this point, an 80% exemption for up to 10 years, but it's based on capital investment. And the governor's philosophy, which I agree with, as much as our job is creating jobs, is that capital investment makes so many things happen. And particularly when we're talking about companies staying here, retaining jobs that may involve now more automation and those type of things, we still want those companies here and growing and investing and retaining the jobs that we already have. But also, most of the time, when there's a capital investment and there's additional growth of the company, additional employees become part of that package. So that requirement is no longer there as far as the rules are written now. The other piece that's got a lot of work to be done on it is that under John Bell Edwards' administration, we had to work with the industry, go through their application process, and then it went to Commerce and Industry, and then ironically it came back to the local taxing bodies. They could do nothing, which meant they support it, or they had a meeting about it and had to have a vote on it to decide if they supported it. So we were, in a very short period of time, having to go with the industry to school board meetings and to police jury meetings and conversations with the sheriff and the city if it's in a municipality, and we cover 10 parishes. But that's been changed to what's being called an ITEP ad hoc committee. And at this point, the regionals look like we're going to be charged with pulling together this committee that has a representative from the school board, a representative, police, jury, the sheriff, if it's a municipality, the mayor, or the council president. So those things are all being worked out. That's one of the conversations I had with Jerry Jones last week was, okay, there's a vacuum here. How do we? What's our role in this? And we're all trying to work together on that to move forward. The other thing that's challenging, they were trying to expedite things, but they've actually reduced the amount of time for all this to take place on the local level. And then, you know, so, and there's a lot of communication that has to be done with school boards and police juries, the sheriffs and that type of thing. So we'll be working on that the next month or so. They're hoping to have the rules finalized for the August meeting, and they've asked us again for additional comment on that. So that's been a lot of our, that's been a lot of Baton Rouge work, let's say, for the last few months. It's hard to believe. I feel like I just gave a report on our first quarter, and now we're almost into the second quarter, and a lot has happened. So cut me off at any time, Al, and let me know about the break. But we'll keep going with some of the updates.
Well, let's go ahead and take that now. Okay. That way we can just
transition
when we get back.
Now let's get back to Talk Back on KSYO, 970 AM, 104.9 FM, and 100.3 HD3.
All right, we're back with Louisiana Central, our industry update with Leif Jones.
Yeah, and I'm going to cover a couple things really quickly because I'm trying to do this more. When you have projects that have been approved and announced and there's due diligence going on, it's good for people to realize they're still active, and that's kind of our role, is to make sure people know what's going on, and a lot continues to go on. The SunGas project, the Beaver Lake Renewable Energy Project, the engineers were here last week. We were meeting with them. They were also meeting with architects and contractors, and things are moving. It's just a longer term process to build basically a 10-story refinery plant on that property. And then one of the other things that's a positive thing, but it's delayed the project a little bit. It's moving, but it's delayed it a little bit. But it's a good thing. Is we talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that with the Maersk shipping, A.P. Moller-Maersk shipping partnership, buying basically 50% of SunGas. The key thing there that I think is important that I just shared with our board members yesterday is that the global press release, because they're an international company that went out about that, specifically talked about that this partnership and this funding, their number one focus was the Beaver Lake project in Pineville, Louisiana. So that project has had a commitment. We knew it was there, but that's even further commitment about that project. And for folks that don't remember, Maersk Shipping is one of the largest industrial shipping companies in the world. And one of the things that Susan Bourgeois, LED secretary, talked about yesterday, that I've been saying this, and I was glad to hear it from another level, and that is we're now in a place where the projects that we're talking about have an international impact. And yes, we can talk about, we all know, we're going to continue to focus in Louisiana on oil and gas. We can't move away from that. But we have to have all above options. And what's happening is companies that need to be able to, like Maersk, pull into ports all over the world are being required to show that they are using alternative fuels, or they're not going to be able to pull into the port. So in many ways, regardless of what happens on a local level or what we do on a state level, and even what we do on a federal level as far as the elections, the international world is driving some of the things that we need to be involved in. And we've had such interest internationally. You know, the SunGas project is linked to Maersk, which is in Copenhagen. The Syrah project we have is an Australian company. Drax is a European company. We also have the UCOR project, which is a Canadian company. So when we're starting to bring companies in that have these international tentacles, and they're doing business all over the world, they're here to do business, and they're serious. They have to have these things. And so Those projects continue, and like I said, when we know that they're coming into town every week to every 2 weeks, it's a good thing because it means that we'll start seeing some things on the property sooner. On the UCOR project, we had a really good conversation with them last week. I think the key things there, people continue to ask me, UCOR signed a 10-year lease with 3 10-year options. They are committed to this project at the airpark. And another good thing is that they have, the Department of Defense has given them another grant. It's interesting when you're doing these alternative energy type projects, it's not just Department of Energy that's interested. Department of Defense is looking at this as national defense issues about where we have our supply chains and that type of thing. The other thing is we have been in conversations with a rare earth element, which is what UCOR makes, metal maker. That is considering co-locating their facility to be closer to UCOR. That's what we're hoping continues to happen. Those people that want to be closer to their feedstock and their source. Amazon, I was talking out in the waiting room about this. If you're coming along I-49 by Love's there, you can't miss all the construction that's taking place. The only thing that's delaying them a little is probably, like anybody else, a lot of rain recently. But they're doing a lot of groundwork, dirt work. There is also, as many people know, there's a DOTD project right there in front of Love's that is really not related to Amazon directly, but because we have now Lowe's out there and Amazon, and because of what Love's has done by expanding that additional truck parking back there, there had to be some work to that corner right there. So that's all positive things. It's inconvenience right now, but those are positive. The other thing is last week, I've been talking about it for a while, but they're up and running now. The Coppers project that we worked on in Vernon Parish, our team was really glad to be involved with them from the beginning and get to see it to the end of completion, meaning that we actually had the grand opening last week. They're doing business there. That's a $17 million project. They purchased 105 acres there. And it's about 35 direct and indirect jobs that are related to it. They had the grand opening last week. The folks were there from Pennsylvania, and we got to be part of that. And it's exciting when we see those things happen. That's a big in capital investment for Vernon Parish in the Leesville area. And we look forward to them being successful. People have asked me about what they're doing there. They actually do the pole stripping and pressure on the poles, but they send them to another plant to actually do the coatings. So that's what's happening in Vernon Parish. I'll just give you a quick update before we wrap up of some kind of stats. It's the beginning of the year. People always find this interesting. And again, they're just work that we do. It's no promises out of these things, but a lot of activity. Dan Purvis, who's our executive director of business development, has been extremely busy since the beginning of the year. We've had right around 20 direct requests for proposals for projects since the beginning of the year. Those are still active. We were able to submit proposals on about 15 of them. There were some that we just did not have the right site location for. But what's interesting that people are interested in is the industries that we're getting proposals from now. We had aerospace, agriculture, batteries, biofuels, concrete. Data centers are a hot subject right now. We're getting a lot of that, as well as solar farms. Food and beverage, food processing, semiconductors, a shipyard, steel, and then another wood product type of project since the beginning of the year. In addition to that, we were really pleased that we have done a lot more. Half of the leads that we have sourced that were not requiring a proposal at this point, but just contacts we've made or we received from the state or others, have been self-generated by Louisiana Central. And we are trying to really focus on what we do to be able to self-generate those leads. So we'll keep you posted on those things. We had a really effective manufacturing camp last week. Great industry sponsors. We doubled the participation. And it was really great. At dinner the other night, the LED secretary was really interested in our manufacturing camp and what we're doing in Healthcare Career Central, because these things are not really taking place around the state. I think we're the only place in the state that is offering, in conjunction, we do it in conjunction with CLTCC, a manufacturing camp for high school kids, and I think it's only going to grow, and the demand for those jobs is only going to grow. So a lot of updates for the first half of the year, but we'll be back in a couple of weeks with other updates.
Sounds good. Leif Jones, thank you so much for being here today.